BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on BCY America. We've got a program where, folks, we're going to be hitting a lot of COVID news here today and just some of the absurdities that are going on pertaining to this issue here across this nation. So much that is breaking, so much that is taking place, we just cannot ignore the matters that are being exposed and coming forth here. We're going to be also hearing an exchange that happened just earlier this week between, I believe it was yesterday, Senator Rand Paul, as he grilled Dr. Fauci on some issues as Dr. Fauci appeared before their committee. But as we delve into a number of issues here today, this past Monday night, Project Veritas released a new report. I'm looking right now at redstate.com, a new report announcing that they'd obtained U.S. military documents proving that Dr. Anthony Fauci had lied to Congress, and more specifically, never-before-seen documents regarding the origins of COVID-19, gain-of-function research, vaccines, potential treatments, which have been suppressed in the government's effort to conceal all of this. One document, an August 13, 2021 report on Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, under letterhead from the Commandant of the Marine Corps Fellow, DARPA, to the Inspector General of the Department of Defense, carries the subject line, SARS-CoV-2 Origins Investigation with U.S. Government Program Undisclosed Document Analysis. Well, the analysis reports that the 2018 EcoHealth Alliance coronavirus research proposal that DARPA rejected because it was too risky and likely violated the gain-of-function research ban that was then funded by the NIH and the NIAID and carried out, and that SARS-CoV-2, also known as COVID-19, resulted from the research and escaped in August of 2019. Now, it's very interesting here because these documents released by Project Veritas appear to show that gain-of-function research proposed by an agency later funded through Dr. Fauci's agency was rejected at first by the military in 2018 because it was too risky. And I'm now looking also at Western Journal, who at DARPA made the decision to bury the original report? They could have raised red flags to the Pentagon, the White House, or Congress. This is a James O'Keefe from Project Veritas asking this. It could have been the White House or Congress, which may have prevented this entire pandemic that has led to the deaths of 5.4 million people worldwide and caused much pain and suffering to many millions more. The documents, again labeled Starling by Project Veritas, reportedly came from the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Project Veritas alleges they were hidden in a top-secret shared drive. The documents appear to show that in January 2018, DARPA was seeking to fund proposals that offered ways to prevent potential pathogenic threats to U.S. forces. EcoHealth Alliance responded with a proposal to work with bat coronaviruses in China on a project it called Diffuse, according to the forums. A document from the Marine Corps, Major Joseph Murphy, a former DARPA fellow, appears to note that the proposal which was rejected was eerily similar to that which was actually done by EcoHealth in China and suggests that the two are separate parts of one stream of research that was supported by American taxpayers. Murphy's multi-page report lays out his concerns over the research that took place and connects the dots that was rejected to what was originally actually done, that is, when funded from another part of the, another pot of taxpayer dollars. A document released by Project Veritas called The Idea of Gain-of-Function Research takes place when a virus that occurs naturally is made more lethal in a laboratory. PJ Media is reporting that the memo confirms the existence of a proposal from EcoHealth Alliance to the Defense Alliance Research Projects Agency that a group that calls itself Drastic that's leaked the proposal in 2018. Dr. Peter Daszak had pursued a grant from DARPA under the Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats Grant Opportunity, but we understand that this was eventually funded then, even though denied by others, and the military saying it was too risky, but eventually Dr. Fauci's division of the NIH funded the team's work. Very interesting indeed. Experts reacting to this say it was essentially the intentional manslaughter of millions. The Gateway Pundit, in fact, called the Project Veritas report a bombshell and said Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, and Dr. Naomi Wolf, a former Clinton advisor, also had commented. Malone called the revelations bigger than the Pentagon Papers, and Wolf described it as the premeditated kind of manslaughter of millions of people coordinated at the highest levels, according to these documents. Malone said he's been in contact with Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin on the revelations and explained that he is angry and confused about what's happened in our government, as is the rest of us. Well, friends, as we go on to some other related stories here dealing with COVID news and certainly a lot of absurd things going on, the College Fix is reporting that Fordham University is banning students now from drinking water in buildings because 0.03% of the school has COVID. In addition to increased testing after a spike in cases of the Omicron variant, which afflicts people with runny noses and coughs, the Catholic University will stomp out coronavirus with a few more restrictions. The Observer reported that Fordham also updated its policies for eating and drinking in spaces on campus. Eating or drinking will be prohibited at athletic events until further notice. Food and drink are not allowed in classrooms and instructional spaces such as libraries or laboratories. Throughout the month of January, eating and drinking will also not be permitted at any events or meetings. Additionally, the university canceled all indoor events scheduled for January where food or beverages were to be served. The student body is more than 99% vaccinated as of September, and, quote, no unvaccinated individuals are allowed on campus except for individuals with official accommodations or those still completing their vaccination series. The university has been struck by an outbreak of 58 cases in the last 14 days. However, 18,984 of the other on-campus university community members have not tested, yielding an infection rate of 0.03%. But no food or drinking in the buildings on campus. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting that three times jabbed Austrian Chancellor Karl Niehammer contracted COVID-19 during a meeting in which he was promoting mandatory vaccination. Despite receiving three experimental injections, wearing a protective mask, and living in a country with stringent rules and lockdowns, Niehammer tested positive for COVID-19 Friday. Nevertheless, he doubled down on his support for compulsory vaccination and implored his fellow Austrians to get vaccinated and get a booster. He said, "My appeal is still, go get vaccinated, get a booster that will protect you with high probability against your serious illness." His office told the public that he likely contracted the virus during a Thursday meeting in which everyone was vaccinated and had a booster, was wearing masks, and separated from him by plexiglass screens. During the Thursday meeting, he announced new measures for his citizens in light of the Omicron variant and told the media that the government is still working on a draft law to make vaccinations compulsory starting February 1 in Austria. And as he's pushing the jab, the two shots and the booster, he himself came down with COVID. Let's look at a story here from the Gateway Pundit. Leon Dios Kastrikas, professor of biological sciences at University of Cyprus, has discovered a new strain of COVID that combines Omicron and Delta, and they're calling it Deltacron, according to Bloomberg News. He and his team have identified 25 such cases, and the statistical analysis shows that the relative frequency to the combined infection is higher among patients hospitalized due to COVID-19 as compared to non-hospitalized patients. Last week, Israel recorded the first case of what health officials are calling Flurona. That's a mixture of two diseases, influenza and coronavirus. And now we have a mixture of Omicron and Delta called Deltacron that has made its debut and identified at the University of Cyprus as they have discovered this new strain. A special warning that's coming out here, and this from the Daily Signal. A tiny administrative agency for the District of Columbia announced a new policy Tuesday, that was just yesterday, that will likely serve as a model for a whole-of-government push to assemble list of Americans who object on religious grounds to a COVID-19 vaccine. The Pretrial Services Agency for the District of Columbia is a federal independent entity that assists officers in the District of Columbia courts in formulating release recommendations and providing supervision and services to defendants awaiting trial, announced a new record system that will store the names and personal religious information of all employees who make religious accommodation requests for religious exemption from the federally mandated vaccination requirement. The announcement does not explain why the agency needs to create this list, except to say that it will assist the agency in collecting, storing, dissemination, and disposal of employee religious exemption request information collected and maintained by the agency. In other words, the list will help the agency make a list. The announcement also does not say what the agency will do with this information after it has decided an employee's religious accommodation request, and neither does the announcement explain why the Biden administration chose to test this policy in an agency with a majority black staff who are both more religious and less vaccinated than other groups. Almost nobody has ever heard of the Pretrial Services Agency for the District of Columbia, and very few people pay close attention to it or are covered by its policies. However, indeed, at the time of publication of the article, the announcement had only been viewed 16 times, and they're using this little-known agency to begin the process of making a list of religious vaccine objectors. Looking also here at CBN.com, they say a small, obscure federal agency issued this public notice Tuesday after a new policy that could mean the U.S. government is preparing to assemble a database containing the names of Americans who claim a religious exemption to taking the COVID-19 shot. The notice published in the Federal Register says the agency will create the Employee Religious Exemption Request Information System. The notice reads this: "This system of records maintains personal religious information collected in response to religious accommodation requests for religious exemption, or rather exception, from the federally mandated vaccination requirement in the context of a public health emergency or similar health and safety incident, such as a pandemic, epidemic, natural disaster, or national or regional emergency, and or any other lawful collection of employee information or data that is necessary to ensure a safe and healthy environment for individuals who are occupying PSA facilities, attending PSA-sponsored events, or otherwise engaged in official business on behalf of the agency." Again, PSA stands for Pretrial Services Agency. That is for the District of Columbia. Haven't you been warned that this is going to be leading to such a list and such a database, building a database of those who are asking for religious exemptions? What is the purpose of such a database? What is this information going to be used for? And why are they using this little tiny agency within the District of Columbia to start spearheading and start the information gathering there on a small basis? Where is this going before us? We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk, and when we come back, we're going to be hearing how Senator Rand Paul grilled just yesterday Dr. Fauci for trying to suppress the lab leak theory. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. We're calling today's program COVID News and Absurdity, as there is much that is taking place. You just have to scratch your head and say, why is this going on? Who is, you know, like this database issue? We're going to hear some more stories coming up here in just a moment as well. But I want to be sure we get this in, because this is a about an 8 to 9 minute clip here. This is we're going to go to a hearing that was held yesterday, a Senate hearing that occurred yesterday. We have the White House chief medical advisor, Dr. Fauci, and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul that were engaged in what's called an explosive exchange. Fauci and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky were testifying before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions about the Biden administration's COVID-19 response. So Paul began to ask Fauci why he had attempted to suppress the lab leak theory by dismissing the work of various scientists who were exploring the possibility, and Fauci got fired up in response. Let's listen into this clip. It is the exchange that happened yesterday between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci.
Senator Paul.
Dr. Fauci, the idea that a government official like yourself would claim unilaterally to represent science, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself, is quite dangerous. Central planning, whether it be of the economy or of science, is risky because of the fallibility of the planner. It would not be so catastrophic if the planner were simply one physician in Peoria, then the mistakes would only affect that physician's patients, the people who chose that physician. But when the planner is a government official, like yourself, who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful. A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him. In an email exchange with Dr. Collins, you conspire, and I quote here directly from the email, to create a quick and devastating published takedown of three prominent epidemiologists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Apparently, there's a lot of fringe epidemiologists at Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. And you quote in the email that they, or from Dr. Collins, and you agree that they are fringe. And immediately there's this takedown effort. A published takedown, though, you know, doesn't exactly conjure up the image of a dispassionate scientist. Instead of engaging them on the merits, you and Dr. Collins sought to smear them as fringe and take them down. And not in journals, in lay press. This is not only antithetical to the scientific method, it's the epitome of cheap politics, and it's reprehensible, Dr. Fauci. Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
The email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me. If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it, I can do it, we got something in Wired magazine.
No. I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Did you ever object to Dr. Collins' characterization of them as fringe? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're not fringe, they're esteemed scientists, and it would be beneath me
I did not do that.
You responded to him that you would do it, and you immediately got an article in Wired, and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific publications.
That's not what went on. You go again.
That
you just do the same thing every hearing.
That was your response. And this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take down people.
You're incorrect. As usual, Senator, you are incorrect. Almost everything you said.
Well, no, you deny, but the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Five of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature where they were describing, oh, there's no way this could have come from the lab?
That was not me. What
did
I
you did, talk with any of those
see,
scientists
but
privately?
You keep distorting
did you,
the truth. It is stunning.
Did you talk,
how
did you
do
talk
that?
To any of the scientists privately
yes.
who wrote the opinion? You did.
Well,
what were they telling you privately?
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So you, not only are you distorting it, you were completely turning it around, as
were most of the scientists
do.
That came to you privately, did they come to you privately and say, no way, this came from the lab? Or was their initial impression, Dr. Gary and others that were involved, was their initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
Senator, we are here at a committee to look at a virus now that has killed almost 900,000 people. And the purpose of the committee was to try and get things out, how we can help to get the American public. And you keep coming back to personal attacks on me that have absolutely no relevance to reality.
Do you think anybody has had more influence over our response to this than you have? Do you think it's a great success? Do you think it's a great success what's happened so far? Do you think the lockdowns are good for our kids? Do you think we slowed down the death rate? More people have died now under President Biden than did under President Trump. You are the one responsible. You are the architect. You are the lead architect for the response from the government. And now 800,000 people have died.
Right.
Do you think it's a winning success, what you've advocated for government?
Senator, first of all, if you look at everything that I said, you accuse me of in a monolithic way telling people what they need to do. Everything that I've said has been in support of the CDC guidelines. Wear a mask. Get boosted.
And you've advocated to make it coercive
take
and done
a look at everything
you've advocated
that I said.
To be done by mandate.
Right.
You've advocated that your infallible opinion be dictated by law.
Right. So, again, Madam Chair, I would like just a couple of minutes because this happens all the time. You personally attack me, and with absolutely not a shred of evidence of anything you say. So I would like to make something clear to the committee. He's doing this for political reasons. What you need to do is, he said in front of this committee.
You think your takedown of three prominent epidemiologists was not political?
You don't want me to finish this. You know what I'm going to say.
That was the question.
Senator,
was he political in taking down these three prominent epidemiologists?
Senator Paul, if you would please, I'm going to allow Dr. Fauci to respond. We have a number of senators who would like to ask questions, and I would like him to be able to respond. Please do so.
So the last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, you know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. Well, it makes a difference. Because as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition. Because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself, why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website, and you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says, contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
have
thing
politically
that,
attacked your
can,
colleagues and in a politically reprehensible
the
way
only thing
attacked their reputations.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
you'll
sorry,
just simply
we're
turn around the attack.
We're going to continue this hearing. We have a number of questions from
just
another
one more minute, please.
Well, Dr. Fauci, I really appreciate your response, but we do have a number of questions from senators, and we do have a second round, and I'm being asked to.
And she moved on from there. But this is the exchange that happened yesterday in the Senate committee, and Dr. Fauci being challenged by Senator Rand Paul. I'm guessing that didn't quite make the nightly news here across the nation. But here's also a story from Western Journal, and that is a federal judge ruled last Thursday, that Americans should get the data that the Food and Drug Administration relied upon when it approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine far sooner than the agency wanted. U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman ruled that the FDA must comply with the Freedom of Information Act request for over 400,000 pages of data much faster than its current rate. The FDA never declined to release the data, but it said it could not produce more than about 500 pages a month. At that pace, the last of the material would not be released until 2097. Instead, the judge ordered the FDA to provide about 55,000 pages a month and wrap up sharing the data in 8 months. Here's another. We're talking about the absurd. Understaffed hospitals bringing back COVID-positive nurses to avoid employing the unvaccinated. Now think of this is coming from LifeSiteNews.com. As hospitals continue to weather staffing shortages brought on by mandates that employees receive COVID-19 vaccines, some hospital systems across the country are compensating by allowing some workers who have COVID itself to return to duty. Over the weekend, the California Department of Public Health announced temporary flexibility to help hospitals and emergency services providers respond to an unprecedented surge and staffing shortages by allowing asymptomatic employees to come back to work. The department cautioned it should only be done after hospitals exhaust all other options, and then, even at that point, afflicted workers should interact only with COVID-19 positive patients to the extent possible. University of California San Francisco epidemiologist Dr. George Rutherford told NBC Bay Area that resorting to infected workers is not unprecedented. But California Nurse Association President Sandy Redding said she remains very concerned. If you have healthcare workers who are COVID positive, care for vulnerable populations, we can spread the COVID virus inside the hospital as well. Allowing employers to bring back workers who are still may still be infectious is one of the worst ideas I've heard during this pandemic. And that's really saying something. Bob Schoonover, the president of the California chapter of the Service Employees International Union, told CBS Sacramento. There is a very interesting tweet that went out from Rand Paul. And he asked this question, folks, and there's legitimacy to this question when you think about it. What they're doing, understaffed hospitals bringing back COVID-positive nurses to avoid employing the unvaccinated. He said, so you can still work in a hospital if you have active COVID, but doctors and nurses who don't have COVID and are unvaccinated are fired. He said, am I the only one who perceives the absurdity of this scenario? Think about it, folks. Again, if they're understaffed, they will, rather than bring back those who do not have COVID and are unvaccinated, they would rather bring back those who do have COVID to come work back at the hospital again. Something does not make sense. We'll be back in a minute with some more information here on Crosstalk from the VCY America Network. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him.
If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. COVID news and absurdity, and how absurd is that? To bring back those who are COVID positive in deference over those who are not COVID positive but who have not been vaxxed. Daily Wire is also reporting another absurdity. Somehow the left wants you to believe it's racist to ask for a photo ID to vote, but it's not discriminatory to ask for a photo ID in order to enter restaurants or movie theaters or gyms in the name of COVID-19 safety. On Saturday, Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser's vaccine mandate is set to go into effect in Washington that requires nearly every business and entertainment venue located in the nation's capital to verify that patrons are vaccinated against COVID-19 with at least one shot. As part of that mandate for patrons over the age of 18, customers will have to show photo ID as proof that their name matches the vaccination card that they present for entry. You know, in the last past, Democratic Party leaders and others in the media have suggested that requiring ID to vote is tantamount to enacting new Jim Crow laws, because they argue black Americans are less likely to have voter ID than their white counterparts. Well, this past summer, President Joe Biden criticized Georgia for enacting a new voting law that included a voter ID requirement to cast a ballot. He called it Jim Crow in the 21st century. And that's been happening repeatedly throughout. The ACLU has said minority voters disproportionately lack ID. Nationally, up to 25% of African-American citizens of voting age lack government-issued photo ID compared to only 8% of whites, said the ACLU. Then why in the world are they starting to require the need for a photo ID to verify who you are in order to go into a restaurant or a place of recreation, a gym? Unbelievable, folks. Now, here's another interesting clip I'm going to play for you today. It was a J.P. Morgan healthcare conference that was just held, and the CEO of Pfizer, his name is Albert Bourla, openly stated current vaccines the company developed for Wuhan coronavirus offer, quote, limited, if any, protection against contracting current variants of the disease, and then encourage booster shots. I mean, I'm going to play the clip because you're going to hear him say that two doses of the vaccine offers very limited protection, if any. Three doses with a booster offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Let's listen in to what he had to say. This is the Pfizer CEO.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Against deaths, I think, very good. And less protection against infection. Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way, that will cover Omicron as well. And, of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March.
Okay, a new vaccine that is being under development right now, calling it 1.1, waiting on the trials and everything, and ready to go, he believes, by March. Very interesting this coming. The statement from Bourla comes just as the Biden administration continues to justify vaccine mandates for federal workers, contractors, and private businesses. Townhall.com has that story. In a separate interview Monday with CNBC, Bourla said that the current COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, he says, don't have the safety profile that we hoped we can achieve with this technology. This is the CEO of Pfizer. Let me repeat that again. The COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, don't have the safety profile that we hoped we can achieve with this technology. He said the pharmaceutical giant is working on a new vaccine that will cover Omicron as well. He told Yahoo Finance, we are awaiting the final results of clinical trials, but it will be ready in March. LifeNews.com reported
that 2,000 doctors and nurses have asked the Supreme Court to stop the COVID vaccine mandate. Liberty Counsel filed the reply brief asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review the case on behalf of 2,000 healthcare workers in the state of Maine against their governor, Janet Mills. The state is ignoring federal law by removing religious exemptions and accommodations from unlawful COVID shot mandates for healthcare workers, many of whom have already been terminated from employment. Governor Mills has created a situation where no religious exemptions to the COVID shot can obtain employment in the state. Folks, that's what we're seeing happen in the military. Oh, yes, we offer exemptions, religious exemptions. Let's fill it out. We're just not going to grant any. Texas is challenging Biden's vaccine mandate for their National Guard. 40%, it's reported 40% of the Guard are refusing to take the shot. In Iowa, one of 22 states with its own OSHA-approved plan that covers both private and government workers submitted notice this past Friday that will neither adopt nor enforce the vaccine mandate, which requires weekly testing and mask wearing for all non-vaccinated employees. And I don't know if you saw what's going on at the Wuhan lab. I guess they're taking new applications now to work at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They reveal that candidates must support the leadership of the Communist Party of China and be willing to serve the socialist modernization in addition to passing a political review. That's part of the job requirements. The application that devotes a section to how active duty members of China's military can apply for targeted training follows the NIH confirming Anthony Fauci funded gain-of-function research at the lab. The Wuhan Institute of Virology's exclusion of non-Chinese Communist Party supporting candidates is evidenced in an October post on its Chinese language website, enrollment guide for doctoral candidates of Wuhan Institute of Virology, Chinese Academy of Science in 2022. This is from the nationalpulse.com. The Wuhan lab job applicants are only open to those candidates that support the Communist Party and willing to serve the socialist goals. Back to the states here. Multiple Illinois cities are refusing and resisting the new vax passport system that makes five-year-olds carry papers. Yeah, we're talking about Cook County, Illinois. Include Chicago, requires everyone age five and over to show their papers if they want to enter public establishments. Some cities are resisting this passport system that was established in Cook County. Not everyone is on board with the requirement. Restaurants, fitness centers, other businesses as well, they are to require any individual 5 years of age and older to show proof that they are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 with an approved vaccine in order to enter the establishment. So far, leaders from Orland Park, Niles, Morton Grove, and Lincolnwood have chosen to not enforce the mandate in their towns. Tinley Park will also refuse to enforce the passport system, that according to Fox 32. Incidentally, folks, just so you're aware, there is a vaccine database bill. It's H.R. 550, and there are entities encouraging individuals to get involved in opposition to this legislation. That's their viewpoint. If enacted, H.R. 550 would spend $400 million for immunization system data modernization and expansion and to expand CDC and state and local public health department capabilities. Specifically, H.R. 550 would require the Secretary of Health and Human Services to create national standards for vaccine database records. It authorizes the use of grants to pressure state and local officials to adopt the standards. Additionally, the bill requires that states make their databases accessible to the federal government, non-governmental entities, and, quote, other persons. Additionally, H.R. 550 would allow the HHS to use public-private partnerships to implement the bill's provisions. This also represents a serious erosion of medical privacy and yet another socialist unconstitutional enlargement of federal power. It opens the door to a federal vaccine database and, by extension, the coercion and punishment of those who do not abide by the government's wishes. The bills claim that the bill sponsors and supporters claim that the bills have guardrails against government tracking. Biden's own HH Secretary Javier Becerra has claimed that it is absolutely the government's business to know who has received the COVID shot. As Dr. Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon and former Trump administration official, warned, governments have a tendency to grow, to infiltrate, and to control. And this is a prime example of what government's growth would do. Having this database, first of all, subjecting people to the COVID jab, but it'll secondarily be used for other things as well. That coming from Dr. Ben Carson. We understand H.R. 550 has already passed the House of Representatives and headed to the Senate. Let's open some phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these issues here today on Crosstalk, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. National Review is reporting that the UK advisory panel is recommending against a fourth COVID-19 vaccine dose for elderly and at-risk populations, citing evidence that a third shot provides sufficient immunity. We'll see what happens with that, because in other such locations, they have been promoting a fourth shot and perhaps even annual shots after that. Let's go to Ontario. Yeah, they're running into trouble in Ontario. Ontario's government may ask hospitals to rehire fired unvaccinated healthcare workers to deal with the staff shortage during the Omicron surge. Well, not in California. Not in California, they're not doing that. We'll take your comments here today in Crosstalk. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Ann is calling in from Shorewood, Wisconsin. And Ann, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to just bring Psalm 37 into, you know, all this, just read the whole of the Psalm, especially the 35th and 36th verses. And also, I just wanted to mention with the list that you said that they were trying to compile of people that have, tried to get religious exemptions. Well, maybe it's because they're having people filling out these forms for religious exemptions that they have no intentions on approving for that purpose, to gather more and more information. Because if you fill one out, there they have your information, and they already have no intention of giving it to you anyway. So maybe that might make sense what they're doing. You know, I mean, who's to say with all the other things that are going on, it doesn't sound too far-fetched.
Okay, thanks for your comments on that, Ann. Robert is next in Port Charlotte, Florida. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi there, Fran. I just want to say thank you and the Father and the Son bless you for all that you're doing in your ministry. You know, the insight that I just like to share from Scripture is the love of money is the root of all evil. And I could give 100 examples, and you've given many on this show. But just one, listening to Dr. Peter McCullough in his three-hour interview with Joe Rogan, and he said a blockbuster drug brings in $1 billion revenue in the first year, and that doesn't even account for all the research and development and marketing costs. And that people don't understand that the marketing and the research and development was all done by the United States government. There's no liability legally whatsoever for any injuries to these drugs, and that are being reported as vaccines. But we know they're gene therapy, there's experimental drugs. But the bottom line is, the first year, these three companies have taken in $100 billion of revenue, and only $1 billion is considered a blockbuster success. Let that sink in and understand it is the love of money, the root of all evil, that is driving this train. This engine is being driven by the love of money.
Thank you for your comments here, Robert. Not only love of money, but love of control as well. We'll be back in just a minute. Haven't we talked about the Great Reset? And for a Great Reset to take place, there must be a great collapse. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The most prestigious law enforcement magazine in America is called Law Enforcement Today. Their website, lawenforcementtoday.com. Let me repeat. It is the most widely read and prestigious law enforcement publication in America. This is not some extremist website. It is read by the largest population of law enforcement officials in America. Today, their headline, Is Washington State looking to detain residents in 2022 version of internment camps? Sure looks that way. It's about legislation in Washington State looking to try to throw Americans into internment camps over not being vaccinated or maybe even supposedly being infected with COVID, much like Australia and Austria. Law enforcement magazines are paying attention. Are you?
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. I've done a lot of talking today, so let's hear from you. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. To Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just wondered if anyone else, and maybe they have, noticed the irony when Dr. Fauci was talking about threats to his life. And Senator Paul has actually had an attempt made on his life.
That's true.
So I thought that was really odd. And then I wanted to comment real quickly. My father was a pharmacist, and he never really wanted us to use drugs or medication until they had been out for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the vaccines were rushed through, and you know, anyway. But, you know, he tended with our family to want to use older medications that had stood the test of time, and people knew they were relatively safe. Nothing's totally safe, but relatively safe. And he also was horrified with all the drug advertising before he passed away, and it's gotten a lot more so now.
Yes.
And that's, he said that was very unethical, and they were never allowed to do that in the past. So I just wanted to say those two things. Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. We've got Michelle in Ohio. You're calling. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I've called a couple of times about this issue, and I'm so thankful to hear Senator Rand Paul arguing the fact this is a man-made virus. Where is this going? If more people would just stop and think every time that they talk about this virus, this is a man-made, released upon this earth virus, they would get a whole lot more of understanding. That's like the umbrella. But it needs to be said, and it needs to be argued, and somebody needs to be held accountable. They're not talking about that. They know who and where it happened. They know who and all was involved. And I'm thankful for Senator Rand Paul fighting and pointing this out. And we as American citizens, each and every time the conversation is had, we need to say this is a man-made virus.
Thank you, Michelle, for the call. And this is what Rand Paul is getting at with others, is this gain of function. You allowed this. You provided the impetus for this additional function of this virus to do its harmful effects. And it's not only him. I just saw a story that came out yesterday as well from the NewAmerican.com about Representative James Comer of Kentucky and Jim Jordan of Oklahoma. And they have released undisclosed emails that further contain what was revealed months ago, that U.S. taxpayers subsidize dangerous gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through an unspecified grantee. And even worse, they say, Fauci knew and lied about it. Becerra will not likely respond, and even if he does, he certainly won't admit that Fauci lied, according to NewAmerican.com. Let's go to, Christine is next in Racine. You're on the air.
Jim, I need you, if you can help me out here, to understand why so many Christian churches will not talk about the eschatology, and the pre-tribulational churches won't put together the things that are so clearly before their eyes. No one is even hiding any of this. When you talk about the World Economic Forum, all the stuff that you guys put out every day, I look at these things and I share, because I want people to come to a knowledge of the truth through Christ, that there's no hope in this world, but the signs are here and we're supposed to warn. I don't understand why so many Christians refuse to even put the dots together. It's like they're just, the fear has paralyzed them. I don't know. Help me.
Well, I wish I could, and that's why we seek to give out the truth through this program on a daily basis, Christine, to address the issues that are going forth. We see the important role from the book of Ezekiel of the watchman. He was to be there on the wall and watching for the enemy and danger that was approaching. And when danger approached, he was to sound the alarm. He was to blow the trumpet. And if he did that and the people refused to hear, the blood was on their own hands. If the watchman refused to do it, if the watchman refused to blow the alarm and sound the trumpet, then the blood was on his own hands. There are some who will heed the warning of danger, Christine, and some who will not. And we can only pray for the Spirit of God to quicken people's heart, not just on this issue. There's so many issues. I mean, we think about the what's ahead for those, as Scripture says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I mean, there is a real heaven. There's a real hell. Eternity is real. And certainly we know it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And certainly there are many that will not heed that warning either, but we continue to sound the trumpet. Thank you for the call. We've got Angie next in Pleasanton, Kansas. Angie, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're thankful you're here listening to us here today, Angie.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment. As Christians, we need to remember and we need to remind other people that God doesn't mandate anything for us to do as Christians. He doesn't demand that we do certain things to get his unconditional love. As Christians, he doesn't mandate that every person on earth worship him. We have the choice of free will, and people need to remember that.
God has given us free will, and we are best to use it for his glory. Thank you, Angie. We've got Tommy next in Ostrander, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom. I just want to comment on the geniuses that are making policy and enforcing policy in this country. We have people that have in the medical facilities who have cared for people with COVID for 2 years now, not gotten COVID or gotten it and didn't know it because they had very mild symptoms. And we're going to fire them because they may get COVID and then they may not be there to help. So we're going to fire them so they're not there to help. Where's the wisdom in that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's why it's a real head scratcher, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thank you, Tommy. We've got Ellie in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. The company my husband works for is well over 99 people, and beginning February 1st, they are mandating that they all get the COVID test. They're not allowing them to do the at-home test kit, but that they must pay out of pocket themselves and go to a medical facility, and I was wondering if all of that, what I just said, is legal, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you, and I would need some much more information on that, but let me suggest that you get in contact with Liberty Counsel and get into the specifics more of your question, but I understand private businesses are able to make that mandate. We cannot have OSHA bring that mandate down through the federal government, but to reach out to Liberty Counsel, 407-875-1776. I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from BCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.